May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1127. When Zion's sons, great God, appear in Zion's courts for praise and prayer, there in thy spirit deign to be as one with those who worship thee. Hymn 1127. our reading from the Word of God. Two portions. First, Job chapter 23, and then part of the book of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. The book of Job, chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." And now the Gospel according to Mark, part of chapter 5, reading down to verse 20. Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Thus far we read. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
O thou most holy and eternal Lord God, we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. Lord, ever keep us from praying like the Pharisees did, thus with ourselves. But oh, may we know that true indicting of thy Holy Spirit, that we might ask for those things that are in accordance with thy holy mind and thy holy will, that we should ask for. Dear Lord, do help us to ask in faith and nothing wavering. Lord, we do thank thee, dear Lord, and bless thy holy name for sparing the brittle threads of our lives to once more gather in this thy house of prayer. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and be the master of assemblies. We may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence. O Lord, one of old said, What is the house to me unless the master there I see? nor we would come desiring to see no man, as those dear apostles did on the Mount of Transfiguration, save Jesus only. O Lord, how we need thee to empty us of self, empty us of this world, and Lord, who keep Satan from the doors of the sanctuary and from the doors of our hearts. Oh, that we may be shut in with thee. And oh, that we may have a glimpse of thy pierced hands and feet and side, and have the sweet assurance that thou didst suffer and bleed and die for us, that we might each personally know that it was for crimes that we have done thou didst suffer, bleed and die. O Lord, as we venture on thy holy day, we pray that we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that we may be enabled from our hearts to worship thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. O Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls, for thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Oh, we pray that we may have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, that we may have a real hunger and thirst and longing to hear thy voice and for thy word to be life and power to us. And it may be a drink to the thirsty and food to the hungry. And O Lord, do come and meet the cases of thy dear people. And O Lord, as we venture before thee, we come with all our sin, with all our guilt, our vileness, our wretchedness. And how often we have to say with the dear Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O Lord, thou knowest the sins that beset us. One said, sins of every shape and form. Thou knowest, Lord, we would be found in thy dear feet, humbly weeping and mourning over our sin and confessing them before thee, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in that precious blood of Jesus, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. And thou knowest those, O Lord, that feel the need of it, and the need of that washing, the need of cleansing. Oh, that we may be clean every week. We may be like those, Lord, who had washed their garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We pray to have that real religion thou dost give to thy children. May we be amongst those that are born of God, quickened by thy Spirit, live a life of prayer and faith. Oh, do make us real, dear Lord. Make us right. Oh, that we may be ever found resting wholly upon a precious Jesus, the sure foundation stone. Oh, do assure us, Lord, thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. And O Lord, may we ever live to thee and to thy honour, to thy glory. And O do keep us, Lord, from this bewitching world which has to death 10,000 hold. Knowest, O Lord, each heart knoweth its own bitterness. Thou knowest, Lord, the mourning and grieving that goes on in the hearts of thy children because of their sins, because of their wanderings, their backslidings, because of the hidings of thy face. But oh, that thou wouldst come and appear, Lord. And as thou didst appear for those throughout thy word in their great need, we pray thou would appear for each one in their varied needs today. And O Lord, do lift up any that may be cast down, for who can lift us up but thou? Thou knowest the many things that cast thy people down. Do be with those that are tried and tempted. We pray to be delivered from the tempter's power. And oh, that thou wouldst come, Lord, and deliver thy tempted people. Cast Satan out. And set at liberty all that are in bondage. Thou knowest, O Lord, how Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But, oh, we pray that thou wilt set at liberty those that feel bound and shut up. Oh, that there may be many loosed in these last and solemn days, and are set free. And as thou didst deliver legion from the powers of Satan, Lord, we pray thou wilt deliver thy people today. Whatever be the things that bind them, do call by grace those that as yet know thee not. May this be the appointed time not to propose but call by grace. May there be yet many brought to think and tremble, for death is now upon the road. And oh, may the solemn masses of eternity be a tremendous sound to many. And may those that thou art working in, those thou hast to manifest thy love to, be graciously established and steadfast in the truth. Oh, may there be seen yet many that shall declare, as legion did, what great things thou hast done for them. Lord, thou canst constrain, and thou canst remove all that hinders. May thy constraining love yet constrain others. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless the dear children and remember them, Lord, in their early days. May they be kept by thy mighty power. May there be raised up those that shall fear thy holy name and ask for the old paths. Who work in them and for them, we beseech thee. Bless the Sabbath school and who apply thy word as it is set forth to the dear children. And may it be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. And may there be raised up, Lord, many that shall fear thy holy name. And I remember the young people. We pray thou wilt preserve them, watch over them, keep them. May they be taught of thee in early days, brought to bear the yoke in their youth. May there be raised up from among them those that shall be pillars in thy house, in their day and generation. And oh, may it please thee to help those in trouble in middle age and any that may be in trouble, whatever be their age or state. Lord, we pray that thou wilt fulfill thy sweet promise. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him. And oh, may the hour be hastened when thou wilt deliver thy troubled people. Remember those, Lord, that have many difficulties and trying things to walk through. May they be given that needed grace to be still and to know that thou art God. Supply the need of each one, whether it be in providence or in grace. Remember those in affliction's pathway. We pray for healing mercies if it's thy will, and that thou wilt sanctify these afflictions, that thy dear afflicted people may be profited by them, and being able to say, my Jesus hath done all things well. And O Lord, may it please thee to comfort those that are bereaved, to make up the breach, Lord, where thou hast taken those from the families, Lord, and loved ones. We pray for thee to so sanctify these things that many may be able to say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who bless the church and congregation here, we pray. Thou wilt preserve them, keep them, watch over them. And Lord, who bless the ministry of thy servants as they labour here. And may the word preached have a gracious effect in them that hear the word. May it never be said, Lord, the word profited them not, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Lord, the power's thine, to increase the church and congregation if it would please thee. We thank thee for all thou hast done. And oh, we would praise thy blessed name. And dear Lord, we pray for our own flock and thy dear servant among them. Grant him that gracious liberty, Lord, and anointing of thy Spirit. And may it be a good day in thy courts, and thy people abundantly blessed. And may there be that real fruit that shall follow the preaching of the word. Remember all thy servants, and remember, Lord, Zion too, and each hill of Zion. May there yet be better days in the churches, a gracious revival, and may there be many brought from the world's deceitful shore to fear thy holy name. With mercy look upon the nation, Lord. Thou knowest the solemn state we're in, and we beg of thee to put thy grace and fear in our leaders and rulers. Bring them to look to thee for that wisdom and guidance in all the affairs of this nation. And oh, do hear the prayers of thy people, and deliver us from the powers of Europe, and all the violent and evil men of the earth. But oh, may we, as a land once again, be a nation that fears thy holy name. We thank thee for deliverance, for Asher's Bakery in Northern Ireland, Lord, thus far. We pray thou wilt go on to appear and put down all the enemies of the truth. And may we yet see the wonders thou alone canst do. Now, O Lord, we would praise thee for all thy great mercies, all thy goodness to us in providence and in grace. And oh, that we might have a heart to love and praise thee more. Who help us to sing thy praises, and may we know the realities of what we sing. Who help our dear friend in the choice of them, that they may be the hymns thou hast appointed to be given him. Make them a blessing to each one. Dear Lord, remember any that we may have left out or feel forgotten. Those that may be walking in lonely pathways. And, O Lord, do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, may we hear thy voice. Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit, and do prepare us for a vast eternity. We ask these poor breathing, seeking the forgiveness of all our many, many sins, in that precious name that prevails above every name. The name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1013. There is a family on earth whose father fills a throne, but though a seed of heavenly birth, to men they're little known. Hymn 1013.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Job, chapter 23, and the first part of verse 16. The book of Job, chapter 23, and the first part of the 16th verse. For God maketh my heart soft. The book of Job, chapter 23, and the first part of verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft. What a blessed thing, beloved friends, it is when we are able to know personally what this text really means. And it is only the Lord that can do this. Job makes it very clear, for God maketh my heart soft. With all what he had to go through in the losses and crosses that the Lord had appointed for him, he could not make his own heart soft. It was all the work of his God. Now I seek for grace to bring this before you. It has rested upon me for a few days, really, the great need of it. Because if you and I have got a real religion, we shall know what it is to have from time to time given by the Lord a truly soft heart. And when he grants it to us, we're in a completely different frame than what we are by nature. And I feel as we begin, we should look at what man's heart is by nature first of all. We are told that it is harder than the hardest of rocks, the heart of man. It's hardened in sin. It's hardened in worldliness. It's hardened in natural religion. And we cannot in any way make that heart soft. But the Lord, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, sweetly told his dear people what he would do to their hearts. And he says to them this, that he would take away all the abominations of their heart, and he would grant to them this, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. You know, when the Lord puts his grace, his fear in the sinner's heart, he takes away all that stony, rebellious heart that they have, and he gives them a heart of flesh. They've still got their old heart by nature, but oh, what a wonderful mercy it is if the Lord has given us a heart of flesh. And if there's a heart of flesh, there's a heart of feeling. Oh, there is. And I would look at that in a few ways. The sinner feels their sin, which they hadn't done in that stony heart. He was hardened in sin. You know what a wonderful mercy it is if we are like the publican. He felt the sin within. The Holy Spirit had taught him it. He didn't need the Pharisee to tell him what a sinner he was, did he? The Lord had given the dear publican a heart of flesh and of feeling. And he felt the sin and guilt within. The Holy Spirit was teaching him it. Is he teaching us it? And then he knew what it was in that condition to feel a great need of the Lord's mercy and the great need of his precious blood. Whereas the hard, rebellious heart by nature never felt the sin and never felt the need of the dear Redeemer. And never felt the real need of his mercy. There are some wonderful characters in the Word of God that we could name that knew what it was to have their heart made soft. You think of Saul of Tarsus, first of all. If ever there was a hard man, he was. And how he rebelled against the Lord Jesus and against the Lord's dear people. He hated them with real hatred. Had no time for them until the Lord put in him that heart of flesh and of feeling. And on that Damascus road, out of a soft heart, and you know what it is to pray it out of a soft heart? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And maybe those of you today that are saying exactly that. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, he was willing to do whatever the Lord commanded him. And that soft heart was made willing in the day of God's power. And you read what he speaks about and writing to the Romans of the hardness of his heart by nature. And then under the blessed Spirit, the heart of flesh and of feeling to serve the Lord. And then, of course, we read of another character who knew what it was to know both sides, both the hardness and the softness. You think of what we read in Mark's Gospel concerning Legion. We read, didn't we? And we read it this morning. No man could tame him. He was so hard, so rebellious, kicking against the Lord, an agent of Satan. You know, Satan has his agents today. And they kick against the Lord and kick against his people and his ways. And you see, Satan was trying to destroy Legion. But he couldn't because he was one of the Lord's dear children. But look at the length that Satan was permitted to go. The Lord was to bring that dear man away from all his hardness and serving Satan, to truly fear the Lord and to have a soft heart. And I want to look at in a moment a few of the places the Lord will bring us to make our hearts soft. But you think of that dear man, how the Lord brought him right out from those tombs. And all the deadness and coldness there was there. And he brought him to sit at the feet of Jesus. And what effect did it have upon him? The dear man's heart was made soft before Almighty God. And he sat at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind. Blessed place, you know. Be interesting, wouldn't it, first to put that question to each of us this morning. Do we know what it is to sit at his dear feet? Well, let me come, love. Do we desire to sit there? Because, you see, at the feet of Jesus, there was no room for legion's hardness, or his rebelliousness, or yours or mine. There's no room at the feet of Jesus for this world and the things of time. It all must go, and our heart be wholly taken up. The hymn writer said, wholly taken up by thee. All he wanted was the dear Redeemer who had cast all those devils out of him and brought him from a hard, rebellious man to sit at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind with a truly soft heart. How many times this poor sinner has to beg to be brought there. And you know, if we've ever been brought there, we should want to be there again. Oh, we will. Lord, bring me there again. But you don't know, and nor do I, what means he may use to bring us there. You see, Job could write this and speak this from experience. Because in all what he'd had to go through, hard as it had been, the Lord in it all made his dear heart soft. Oh, he did. You know, I often think of when we read at the beginning of this book, when Satan was let loose by the Lord and he takes away his livelihood and his loved ones. And what did Job's wife say? She was hardened by it, you know. She said, curse God and die. So different was Job, wasn't he? What did he say? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his heart was softened, you know, to say that. For God maketh my heart. It was personal, you see. Job could speak of this personally, couldn't he? My heart. Lord, it's my heart. You may go in and out of the sanctuary and say, well, I've not received anything as far as hearing the Lord's voice or receiving a token, but you may go out and you can truly say, the Lord gave me a soft heart while I sat there. That's a wonderful thing, you know. We think of some of those old divines, you know, the old saints. We think of some that are now in glory, and you know, the times they spoke about of going out of the house of God. Their hearts softened. They went in hard, rebellious. Many things they were walking in were contrary to what they would have it. And yet the Lord came and made their hearts soft. And they went out tender-hearted. But I name a further character that seemed to so rest upon one's spirit as I woke this morning. Dear Peter. You know, Peter loved his master well, the hymn writer said, but a loving Peter fell. We often fall, don't we? You may rise in the morning and think, well, I'll keep myself through the day, and you probably don't go half an hour before you fall into some sin or some temptation. It may be in your thoughts, in your mind. It may be the Lord permits you to fall outwardly. We cannot keep ourselves. Peter couldn't. Yet, dear Peter, if ever there was a man stood to the defence of the Lord Jesus, he did. Was often the spokesman of the disciples. But what did the Lord say to Peter? Because Peter said he was willing even to go to death and to the cross in the defence of the dear Redeemer. And what did Jesus say? Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You may think, what such a character as that fall in the hands of Satan in temptation? Well, you go into the judgment hall. And think of the dear man. How in three times he denied the dear Redeemer. And what did the Lord use to bring it right home to Peter? What a poor fallen sinner he was. You know, I often think about it, some of you, and when we were in Canada, they'd got where we stayed, they'd got all the different types of chicken of all different varieties, and they were breeding them, and they would wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and those cockerels all round in all the different pens started to crow. And you know, it brought home to me, a dear Peter. You know, as soon as Peter denied his master that third time, the cockerel crew. He was to crow. And as soon as the cock crew, what did the Lord Jesus do? He didn't say anything to Peter. He just looked at Peter. And what effect did that cock crowing and the look of the dear Redeemer have on Peter? He didn't harden him, did it? We read this. He went out and he wept bitterly. The Lord gave the dear man a truly soft heart. You see, just one look from Christ into your poor soul and mine. You'll know what it is to have a soft heart. And Peter went out with a really soft and a broken and a contrite heart before the Lord. Oh, he did. And you think of it when you hear the cockerel crow another time of that dear man. And may the Lord grant to us what he had. It was a look of love. What the dear, when the dear Redeemer looked at Peter, he loved him. He was one of God's chosen children. And you look what was to follow in days afterwards, him to preach on the day of Pentecost and in Cornelius's house. He could well write in his epistle, couldn't he? Those who were kept by the power of God. And he knew what it was to feel the great need of that. But it was a look, you see, of conviction. As the Lord looked at Peter, he brought home to the dear man his sin, his guilt, his vileness. How many times he denied his blessed master. But then, too, there was a look of compassion. And oh, it just melted Peter's heart. For God maketh my heart soft. But then, what means does the Lord use? You see, he's a sovereign. We may, and there may be one here this morning, and I've no stones to cast at you, poor soul. We know it painfully, what it is to be rebellious. It's a solemn sin, that is, rebellion against the Lord. Rebellion against his dealings with us. If you look in the case of the children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness, what many times they were rebelling against the Lord, they were rebelling against Moses. I love that verse of the hymn, "Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still." And then listen. "But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill." And you know, if the Lord whisper that to you when you're rebellious, you'll know what it is to have a soft heart, because the Lord will take away all that rebelliousness when he says, "Since in love I took thee in." Let's look at a few things the Lord has used to make his dear people's hearts soft. He's a sovereign, as I said just now. Sometimes he's pleased to use severe means. And sometimes he's pleased to use his grace and love and favour. When I say severe means, I think of the late Herbert Dawson. I may have told you this before, but you know, I'll never forget the dear man saying it. He was laid aside on one occasion in deep affliction. Because you see, he told me himself, he said when he was in his early days, he was a printer. And in those days, there was a lot of lead used in the printing. And he had lead poisoning. And the doctors told him he wouldn't live to be above 30. And he said, "I was laid ever so low," he said, "in affliction on one occasion." And he said, "I asked the Lord the reason why," he said, "this affliction had come." And he said, "The Lord spoke to him in a moment. He gave him the answer. And it was this: I will by means like these thy stubborn temper break. Soften thy heart by due degrees, and make thy spirit meek. You see, the Lord will have his dear children meek and tender before him. Oh, he will. And the dear man said, you know, he said, I a moment I knew why the Lord had sent him. He said, to make thy spirit meek. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a meek and tender spirit. Oh, it is. And when we've got a soft heart, we shall know what it is for to have a meek and tender spirit before the Lord. Be as little children, Christ said, didn't he? Except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And a child in a natural way has a soft heart. But look at it spiritually. Oh, may we have that childlike spirit, teachable, you say, submissive, resigned to his will. Another blessed thing the Lord will use to this poor sinner that's weeping and mourning over their sin and guilt will be the application of his precious blood. And that will make the hardest particles of your heart soft. Think of what the hymn writer said. What can soften hearts of stone but the precious blood of Christ alone? And you know, that precious blood can soften the hardest marble of your poor heart and mine. If there's one thing a real child of God mourns over, maybe more than anything, not just their sin, but the hardness of their heart. Lord, do give us a soft heart. A heart that's resigned to the Lord's mind, his will, submissive, you say. To lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. But sometimes he'll bring you into troubles of providence. In your pathway, and you look at it all, Lord, why has this come? Is it to make your heart soft, poor soul? In it the Lord appears, and he may answer your prayer, and when he answers your petition and delivers you from it, he so melts your heart as he does it. And it's a wonderful thing, you know. Providence and grace unite. And many say, oh, well, we don't want a providential religion and that won't get us to heaven. But, you know, so often they unite together. Oh, they do. And he brings you into this to bring you to real prayer. And when is it, if I may look at it in this way, that we can really pray? You know, we often may utter many words. But when is it there's this real prayer? Is it not when you've got a soft heart, poor soul? You can pour it all out before the Lord, can't you? You can tell him, as the hymn writer said, all thy sad complaints. And it comes out of a soft heart. You know, when the Lord brought Jacob to the place where he was alone, and there he'd sent his wives, his two wives and the families before him, faced with Esau and 400 men against him. You look how the Lord came and he blessed him. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And what did Jacob say? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And you know, that came out of a very soft-hearted Jacob. Oh, it did. And the Lord, what did he do? He blessed him there. Do you know what it is when you cry unto the Lord and you've got this broken heart and contrite spirit and you pour it all out before the Lord, knowing that he knows all how you feel and all what you need, and you can leave it all with him? I often think of, I may mention it here, but you know, I often think of dear Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house and all the bitter temptation he went through. But you read concerning Potiphar, what did Potiphar do? He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now Joseph was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And when can you leave all what you have? Whether it's in your pathway, or in your soul, in the family, in the business, in all in the Lord's hand, when you've got a soft heart. Oh yes, you can leave it then. Lord, we can leave it all with thee. And your heart is melted and softened before the Lord, for God maketh my heart soft. And when you think in the case of Job, we know he had the dark places he came into, places where no man could help him. His friends were of no comfort to him, were they? They sunk him lower. But you look at the blessings he received. The Lord Jesus was revealed to Job in all that trial as his Saviour, his Redeemer. And out of a soft-hearted Job, what could he say? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Is that something your soul wants to know, poor soul? That your Redeemer liveth. I know. Like the dear disciples on that resurrection morn, and dear Mary Magdalene, the other godly women, what a joy it was that he had risen. Job knew, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he could say that from a truly soft heart. And then think of it in this chapter. Well, two things I would just briefly name. First, in verse 10, where he says this, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He didn't say to the Lord, Lord, bring me out of this trial now, did he? But when thou hast tried me. You see, we've got to lose a lot in the fire. I will bring the third part through the fire. And that part is what the Lord has done. You see, the two parts that have been burnt up, obey everything of the flesh and of the carnal mind and of man, it all be destroyed in the fire. The second part is all that religion that we have that's just custom, formality and tradition, and just in our carnal mind. The third part is what God has done and what he's wrought in the sinner. And Job, he could say this, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And who was to bring him forth as gold? The Lord was, because he had given him the gold. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. The second thing I just briefly name is this. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. He performeth the thing. Have you got those things you need the Lord to perform, poor soul, that is appointed for me? And you're about to say it out of a soft heart, he performeth the thing. And when the Lord does perform it, like he did when he gave Hannah or Samuel, oh, from a soft heart, she could praise his blessed name, couldn't she? You know, there's so many blessings that flow forth from this soft heart, given by the Lord. Let me just name one or two and then I must leave it, but firstly, I've named prayer. You know, when we can pray from a soft heart, what sweet access we have then at the throne of grace. As I have said, we can pour it all out before him. But then think of praise. When is it you can truly praise the Lord? It's when the Lord gives you a soft heart. And you think of that song of deliverance of dear Hannah. It came out of a very soft-hearted Hannah. The Lord had worked. He'd given her a Samuel. He delivered her from her adversaries. And he had set her soul at liberty. And she could truly praise and bless his holy name, couldn't she? And it came out of a soft heart. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice, and all is well esteemed. When is it you can truly follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances, his commandments, when you've got a soft heart? Oh, and you're really made soft, you see. My late dear grandfather, when the Lord so blessed him in the night season, he said to the Lord, Lord, I'll do whatever thou dost command me. And he was 82. And that very day, that very night, the Lord laid the exercise of baptism in his heart. He said, Lord, I'll do whatever thou dost tell me. And from a soft heart, he ventured. And he got something to tell them, hadn't he? Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found, and point to his redeeming blood, and say, behold, the way to God. And it's very sweet, you know, when a person can open up their heart of what the Lord has done from this soft heart and tell. I've been to church meetings over many years now, and I've heard the testimony we've been favoured to of many. And it's very sweet, you know, when those that can speak from their heart of what he has done for them. A heart religion will get us to heaven. A religion that's only of the mind will never get us to heaven. But oh, to be a real follower for a soft heart. Well, go back to Legion that we read and then I'll leave it. But you think of the dear man sitting at the feet of Jesus. He wanted to live there the rest of his days, didn't he? But what did the Lord say to him? go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee and hath had compassion upon thee. And from that soft heart he could go home to those friends and he could tell them, couldn't he, of what the Lord had done. He got something to tell them, but out of a soft heart. And then, oh, as we think of the great day of death and a vast eternity, oh, to come down to the swellings of Jordan with a truly soft heart, longing to be with the dear Redeemer forever, he that hath done great things for us, and then to crown him Lord of all. Well, I've scratched the surface. May the Lord grant to us each what this text sets forth. For God maketh my heart soft. And may it be the fervent desire of each of our hearts to sweetly experience it more and more. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £825, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. And Thanksgiving services will be held on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and collections taken for the Oakington Chapel Building Repair Fund. And God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss will preach at those services and again next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Will you remain, please, after the benediction? Let us now sing hymn 334. Behold, from the desert of sin, the world and the curse of the law, a fair one whose garments are clean does with her beloved withdraw. Retiring from thence, she appears dejected and often complains, surrounded with sorrows and fears, yet on her beloved she leans. Hymn 334.
Thank you.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss, who bless thy own word, who be with us now through the interval, come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.
Dear friends, Mr. Field gave thanks in his prayer for the outcome, the judgment given in the Ashes case this week, and especially for our younger friends. I feel we should point out how important that was. The Ashes were being asked to do that which was contrary to the word of God and contrary to their conscience, and wicked men endeavoured to use the force of law to compel them to do it. Now, we know the forces of Satan and of Antichrist and of this world are still against the Lord's people when they endeavour to walk in the fear of the Lord. But still, I feel we should give thanks and sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.